Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We're in the book of Romans. The series is titled A Christian's Journey as Seen Through Romans. The theme of the book of Romans is, it says in the 17th verse, King James translation, and virtually every other English translation that you might read, the just shall live by faith. The literal translation is, the righteous by faith shall live. And Paul is putting on display the good news, the gospel, the God spiel, if you will, the words of God. He's called in the How do you like that? I'm about to say something. He's called in one passage in the opening chapters, blessed. And the word being translated blessed there is eulogetos. It speaks of a good speaking God. And so Paul is probably in his greatest philosophic effort is declaring this righteousness, which is a gift of God, to another righteousness, which is performance of the law. And he's, you know, in these first seven chapters anyway, he is attempting to, how do I say this? Put every argument, every defense of the law in a place where it belongs, and that is it no longer has any effect on us in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We ended last week in the sixth chapter that says, you know, the 23rd verse, for the wages, that is, things that are earned, things that are due us, wages of sin is death. But the gift, the grace of God, unmerited favor, is eternal life through or in Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul has, where we began, has told us that in our beginnings, that is, of mankind, the first being Adam, that he fell, and the result was all find themselves in the same condition, in a fallen condition, but that through Jesus Christ, we can have life, because to be fallen is to be dead. Well, you know, why the law? That even though sin existed before the law was given, the law was given that we might see our short fallen condition, our hopelessness in the natural when viewed by the law, that is, that which God laid down, put forth, almost by analogy as a mirror, that we might in reality see our condition. And Paul goes on to describe the result in the sixth chapter of the work of Jesus Christ, and how we relate to that work of Jesus Christ. For he says that we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Folks, these things are not apparent to the natural man. And that's why we title this A Christian's Journey as Seen Through Romans. Paul is trying to open up our understanding, open up our vision as to what God in Christ has done, and is trying, and I think he's done a wonderful job, to give a description of things that are not necessarily seen. And he says in another epistle that you know, we walk not by sight but by faith. Another key word in that phrase, which Paul uses the whole letter of Romans to explain, that the righteous by faith shall live. And if I've said it once, I've said it hundreds of times. Faith. The word in the Greek is pisteo. God reached in to the language of the day when he made himself manifest in the flesh, that is, in Jesus Christ, and he grabbed that word pisteo and he made it his. And it is an action, it's a verb, an action based on belief, sustained by confidence. And that action in relationship to God is based on His Word, by belief in His Word, and it's sustained by confidence, that is, an understanding that what God says, He does. And that we can have confidence in His promises. More confidence than what we see. And Paul, in these opening chapters of Romans, is comparing the law and describing the law to righteousness. And the righteousness he's talking about is the righteousness of God. The righteousness he's talking about is that righteousness which God has made available to those who are faithing. So, he tells us, or describes to us in the sixth chapter, our condition. We were dead, but in Christ, we are made alive and walk in newness of spirit. And tells us that this is what we are to reckon. This is the accounting that should be manifest to us, always in front of our eyes. That we are dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the grace of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now he opens up what we call the seventh chapter that was never there. He says, "Know ye not, brethren? For I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth." And he goes on to give us a picture of part of the law, and he says, "For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband." So then, if while her husband lives, he's describing part of the law, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband is dead, she's free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Because of this, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the passions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So, Paul now is bringing on another argument of this law, and not only is he saying, are we dead in Christ and no longer, and sin no longer has dominion over us, but it says that the law has died. Jesus Christ, who took upon himself the form of sinning flesh, yet knew no sin. He lived the perfect life, and he fulfilled the law, one of the requirements for the price necessary for redemption. And he was the law manifest in the flesh, perfect, and he died, and when he died, the law died with him. The Colossian letter tells us that handwriting of ordinances that was against us was nailed to the tree. Paul's telling us here in this analogy, using husbands and wives, and that description in the law regarding marriage and divorce. And he's telling us that as long as the husband, the law, was alive, we were under the obligation of that law. But now, if the husband be dead, we, described here in the feminine, are free from that husband, and we're free to marry another. And this analogy of marriage is used often in the New Testament, culminating in, you know, the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we, the bride of Christ, the church of Christ, become married unto him. Now, Paul's going to go on and he's going to give a personal testimony And this latter part of the seventh chapter of Romans has been so abused by tradition because so many teachers have opted to say that what we're going to go on to read is something out of Paul's past before he was a Christian. He really wasn't talking about the time he was writing this letter. He was talking about something way in his past. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. Paul is trying to put, if you will, the final nail in the coffin over this husband who died, over this law who died, over this law over which showed us our sin, which he says has no more dominion over us, but he gives us now a personal testimony. And he says that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. He's talking about the law. He says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Absolutely not. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known, King James says, lust, desire, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of, same word, they change it here, lust, for without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Paul says here, the result of the commandment being given, the result of the commandment being declared, the result of the commandments being embraced, the result of the commandments being put in front of our eyes as, if you would, a mirror, was death. Because what the commandments did was show us our short fallen condition. In fact, he's saying here, he was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, when he wasn't aware of the law, and, you know, just for clarification, the law was not just the Ten Commandments. There are 630 some odd other laws contained in that which is called the law, the Torah, and I'm not going to go into some of the details, but in our everyday lives, we do not do what the law commands. You know, Dr. Scott used to use analogies if a heifer be caught in a, if your neighbor's heifer be caught in a ditch, you're obligated to stop and help pull that neighbor out. How many of us drive every single day and see a car on the side of the highway and don't stop to help? In today's world, I really believe you're crazy if you do, because who knows? But that's the law. The law says at a woman's time each month, she's to be put out of the house. How many of us pay attention to that? I'm using these examples to create the ludicrousness of those who somehow or other think that they achieve righteousness and therefore have life because of the law. Paul says when the law came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. God said in Leviticus 18:5, that whosoever keepeth the law shall live. And he meant that. Anyone who kept the law should live eternally. I found, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and it slew me. There is that camp in today's Christianity, which continues to preach the law, to the do-dos this and the don't do that, and that in doing so, they would be righteous. Paul says, sin, taking occasion by the commandment, that is, I think I can do it, it deceived me, and by it slew me. Now he's going to tell us what he thinks of the law. He said, because of this, he says, I want to tell you about the law. The law is holy, and the commandment holy and just. There again, we have that word. It should be righteous and good. He says the law is good. And he says, was then that which was good made death unto me? Absolutely not. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. He's trying. He's not trying. He's declaring that we have no hope in our performance of the commandments. Because in that which God says, if a man perform, the requirement is personal. It's perpetual. It never ends. And it's perfect. No misses allowed. Perfection, personally, and perpetually performed is required. And when we know this, and through that mirror of the law, we understand we're not personally, perpetually, perfectly performing that which was ordained unto life. A result is death. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, that is, kept in the spirit, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, For what I would that do, I do not. But what I hate, that I do. A key word in this argument. For what I would. The word would. Folks, God is the one that gives us that wooder, to make up a word. God is the one that gives us His Spirit. God is the one that has put His Spirit in us, wherein we become the house of God. And the Hebrew letter says we continue to be the house of God as we continue the way we started. And the way we started was by faith. He has argued every way from Sunday, not by the law, saying, you know, God pronounced Abraham's righteousness by faith before the law even came into effect. God puts his water in us. It doesn't mean, excuse me, that now that we have this water in us, the Spirit of God, that all of a sudden we have become perfect in the flesh. Paul argues that in Galatians, having received the Spirit by faith, are you now perfected in the flesh? No, it's faith that starts it, it's faith that continues it, it's faith that finishes it. Let's continue. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, he's drawing a conclusion. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil, which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. If I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that is, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, after the inward man, but see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And he comes to this almost hopeless expression, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" This word being translated law here is nomos, and in the Greek there can be various meanings applied to this word. The best way or the context of what's being said here gives us the best understanding by translating this word law, where he says, I find then a law in the 21st verse, that is, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Paul says this is a law. The word in context is talking about a force. It's talking about a force. Now, Paul and I and other men of God would have you see this, which is being described. A force like gravity. If I say to someone, jump, there is a limit as to how high one can jump. I have a painting done by Dr. Scott in my hallway, and it's called The Leap of Faith. And I'm forced to look at it every day. Most of the time it gets my attention, but a few weeks ago, I was walking by it, not feeling too good, and said, a leap of faith. And, you know, I'm 65 years old and overweight, and I said, a leap of faith, and I went to leap, and if I got 3 inches off the ground, it was something. And the picture came to me. This force of gravity, like the force of sin, holds me down. Probably 25 years ago, and I give credit to Dr. Scott, best I could do is paraphrase, because I don't even remember the context of the message that he gave, but he talked about gravity being a force. He talked about like sin being a force. And we have no hope of breaking that gravity, that force that holds us down, that sin that holds us down, without outside assistance. And man has been ingenious enough to come up with a method of breaking the force of gravity, wherein if a man sat in a rocket and it's on the launching pad and all kinds of fuel and engines are being generated and there's great rumbling as one is in that rocket prepared to break that force of gravity, the force required to break that gravity is such that man has learned to break through gravity that holds us down and send us into outer space. But there's a lot of shaking going on before the breakthrough actually occurs. And I'm telling you, as Christians, as we live in this body, Paul tells us that there's warfare going on. There's a lot of shaking going on. That he has a delight in the law of God after the inward man, that is the spiritual. But he says, I see another law, another force in my members warring against the law of my mind, where I agree that the law of God is good, and that I delight in it, and that force is bringing me in captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now, this was not a retrospect of Paul looking back at his life before he was converted on the Damascus Trail, and God took him into the desert and talked about and taught him for 3.5 years. This is now when Paul's writing this letter. Paul had the same flesh and blood that you and I do. Paul had and describes to us that we might take some comfort that he had the same traumas and phobias and dilemmas that we face, that we, when we would do good, we find ourselves not doing it. And when we would not do a certain thing, we find ourselves doing it. He's describing part and parcel of this journey that we are on as Christians. And he says, having seen that as he would do good, evil is present. And as he would eschew, that is, put evil aside, he can't do it. And as I alluded earlier, he almost, in the 24th verse, gives a hopeless statement. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That is what we as children of God, understanding what God has done in giving us the law that we might see our condition, and seeing it, understand that in our flesh, in our performance, there is no hope. But I said almost hopeless, because he follows and says in the 25th verse, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There's no chapter and verse in Paul's original writings. He's writing a letter to the church at Rome, and he, you know, it's not a whole new chapter begins. He said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I serve the law of God. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, the last part of this first verse of what's called the 8th chapter, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to say, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Folks, that's not there. It's added. It's not found in the original manuscripts. There's a period in this most wonderful statement by Paul. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Period. How do you get in Christ? Christ dwelleth in your heart by faith. If he dwells in you, you dwell in him. More than 77 times in the New Testament is this phrase, in Christ Jesus, or in him. Paul is describing yours and my position, which is in Christ, the perfect one, the Son of God. Of whom God is well pleased. We're about to draw this message to a conclusion. I believe this message is going to be posted Monday. We're not going to leave this message for another week. By God, we'll be posting another message soon that that it will join with this declaration by Paul. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But for now, that's the God school for today.